truth keeps coming out. The levee on the 9/11 cover-up is going to break. It's going down. It's going to come down. It's already going down. In fact, crank it up. We're bringing your tyranny down. All right, my friends, I'm glad that you have joined us. Last week, I first saw this letter to the editor of the Cincinnati Inquirer by a gentleman who was reportedly saying that he had been in the Army, he last stationed at Central Command, and then on 9/11, he saw some very suspicious things happen, and he saw suspicious things happen in the lead-up to 9/11. And we have had a chance off-air to talk to 9/11 whistleblower Sergeant Lauro Chavez. And he goes by LJ because his full name is Lauro Jones Chavez. His mom's another troublemaking Jones. So we're honored to have LJ with us. And what happened is his letter to the editor got out on the web, and then it got posted up on the Veterans for 9/11 Truth and went supernova late last week. And so this morning I did some more research and was able to get in contact with Mr. Chavez and with LJ. And I said, well, there's some controversy. No one's been able to, you know, prove your disinfo. They're just simply saying, well, we don't know who this guy is. He hasn't confirmed who he is. All we have is this lengthy letter to the editor there to the Cincinnati Inquirer. Well, since then, I did, I guess, what others haven't done. I asked for his form, and his DD 214, and I've got his DD 214 automated NOV-88 here in front of me, certificate of release or discharge from active duty. Got an honorable discharge, and it's got his special forces qualification training and all his other training here, and that he did indeed, his last post was at Central Command in Tampa, Florida. And so here to discuss what he witnessed, and now we are here confirming, and we have his document. And this goes a long way towards documenting that it did indeed work in CENTCOM. And again, the letter to the editor just had his first and last name. His full name is Lauro Jones Chavez, and he goes by LJ. LJ, thank you for coming on with us, and thank you for your courage. I was talking to you this morning, and you said, I hope they don't kill me now.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, Alex. And yeah, you know, the troublemaking Joneses. we've got to be put down one way or the other. So I'm just glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here with us, sir. Now you gave me a pretty good explanation and description of you got mad by a hit piece against 9/11 Truth in the local paper in Ohio. You got out of the military in 2003. You'd witnessed some things, so you wrote this letter to the editor. And then you also put it out on the web. Break down what happened, and you told me you didn't mean this letter to be your full vetted explanation. Now you're ready to do that here.
Right, exactly. And actually, I got out in 2002. What had happened, and a lot of people don't know, and first I want to thank everybody for questioning me, because that's first and foremost, that's our job, is to question all the information and the misinformation that comes out. So I literally walked in today and it just had hundreds of emails for people thanking me, and, you know, blogs for people trying to discredit me, and, you know, is this guy real? You know, some guy said he'd eat his own rear end if, you know, I was real, which will be funny to watch. But yeah, real briefly, you know, I'm a member, I'm actually the moderator for the Ohio Humans Against the New World Order. It's a MySpace group. We have 9/11 truth meetings in the area here, and this is something that happened, you know, a few months back, and, you know, my friend that I work with, real close to me, I won't release his last name, first name James, but very good friend of mine. He was like, hey, look at this letter that they wrote in the Cincy Post. And like, you know, it was like 1 in 3 believe in 9/11 conspiracy. And so, you know, I'm reading this and it was just a total debunk, you know, to make, you know, people like us who know that there's clearly something not right.
That's right. Cincinnati Post. I misstated.
Right.
Sure.
No, it's fine. There is a Cincinnati Inquirer. They're not as bad as the Post. I don't know. I really don't read the local newspaper because
I must have read a blog that got it wrong which paper it was in. Go ahead.
Right. So, you know, he's like, you know, he wrote a letter to the editor, you know, and Mr. White, you know, saying that, you know, you need to do more journalism research, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, to support him, you know, we were just kind of like going to protest the paper. So I wrote this letter. And, you know, and I spoke to James, you know, and my other friends, you know, prior to this about, you know, some of the things that I'd seen in my military career. And I wrote this letter, and I couldn't in good conscience, like, slanderize Mr. White without, like, putting, like, you know, factual stuff in there. So, you know, I gave him, like, all the tools. Like, I'm in no way in a position to tell people, like, this is the official story, believe me. No, no, no. I want to give people the information to go look for themselves and formulate a logical decision, you know, with all the evidence. And that's what I was trying to do with Mr. White, you know. And then, of course, there was speculation on the web that, you know, I you know, confirmed that Cheney gave the orders to, for Norad to turn down, which, you know, that was my opinion. And I went to the blog and was like, look, that was a rant that I, you know, wrote the editor. This wasn't my intention. You know, this isn't my affidavit to, like, come out and, like, be a whistleblower. I just kind of got thrown into
But
the
we
hole.
Know Cheney, 2 months before, in June, did take control away from
that
the generals.
Correct.
The shoot-down power they'd always had. We know that Mineta was there, and the aide kept saying 50 miles, 20 miles, 10 miles out. Does the order still stand? And we know that Cheney did order a stand-down. And I was talking to you this morning. You said when you were in CENTCOM that... In fact, now let's quit talking about the controversy. Let's go into who you are, what you did in the military, where you were in CENTCOM, what you witnessed.
Okay. I was formerly Sergeant Chavez. I worked in the J-6, which people who don't know MacDill Air Force Base, it's a joint command. Central Command is responsible. Their area of operation, or AOR, is the entire Middle East staging environment. So we've got... You know, Air Force, you know, the base is an Air Force base. The SYNC, Tommy Franks of Central Command was an Army general, 4-star. You know, it's, we've got Marines, we've got Navy, we've got Air Force, very high ranking, you know, like some of the lowest people that I did work for were, you know, colonels, like lieutenant colonels, you know, very few majors, very few captains. Lots of majors, generals, major generals, lieutenant generals, you know, full stars, sergeant majors.
Yeah, we've got CENTCOM, we've got NORTHCOM. There's only, what, 4 comms, and they run the
right,
whole planet.
Right. They do run the whole planet.
Is it 4 comms or going from memory?
Right, yeah, I think there is. And SOUTHCOM is the other one. And they're down in Miami. And every command has their area of operation. And Central Command happen to be the Middle East, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, you know, the UAE, you know, the Qatar. You know, we've got bases over in Doha.
The hot zone, the gap.
The hot zone. We participate in exercises, one of which is called Bright Star. It's where we go over to Egypt, and, you know, we play war games there. But what I did for the command is I worked in the joint 6 department, J-6, what they call the automation department. Basically, we were in charge of all the computer systems, all the network backbone, all the user PCs. So it was like the big computer department for the entire command. So I ran a team on the help desk network side. I had 6 soldiers that worked for me. And, you know, basically what we do is we had a ticketing system. You know, these colonels and stuff would have problems with their computers. And, you know, we'd go around and fix their PCs and... I've got letters of recommendation from General Franks. I've got coins from General Franks. I helped set General Franks up on his eBay account to sell pottery. A lot of people don't know that. I was the only soldier allowed in the command to go to his house and work on his personal computers. I also was the only one allowed to work on his work computer.
And that's what you do now. You work at a computer company
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I work at a software company. I'm their information security manager. I make sure that, hackers don't get in and steal our credit card numbers. You know, I you know, train users to be security conscious.
You wrote this letter to the editor, you put your name, you put your work number, you went totally public, and I commend you.
Well,
you sound very credible to me.
Well, you know, and now that people have just called, I probably had 50 calls today on my phone. You know, I had like 10 messages when I walked in the door this morning, and you know, and that's great. And you know, I love talking to people, and I love giving them, you know, because I was a little overwhelmed, I mean, to be honest, you know, but I'm glad that...
But let's talk about, because of time constraints, I mean, now you put your foot in it, you've gone public, you've stepped across the line here at the Alamo, so you've thrown your lot in with us, a lot of courage. Tell us what you witnessed on the morning of 9/11 in CENTCOM.
Okay, well, we all know that, you know, the president put Cheney in charge of NORAD, so... In the SCIF, you know, I go back to that in my letter. It's a secured compartmentalized information facility. It's a bunker that's at the very base of CENTCOM. It's like in the very middle. It's the most protected. It's like the treasure room. And in there is where all the PSYOPs guys sit, psychological operations, all the military intelligence. You go in there, you can watch live feeds, satellite feeds, like over Iraq. I mean, you know, and you had to have a top secret clearance to even badge in the door. So I had a top secret gamma clearance.
And I want you to be careful about what you say, because you signed a national security letter. Just be careful.
Okay, I don't remember signing any national security letters, because I think I was out prior to that.
Well, I imagine you probably don't.
I'll just
don't say too much that's classified. But go ahead.
Okay, so there's a lot of things going on in this command bunker, and I go in there a lot. All right, I had to go in there a lot to fix PCs, and you know, there are different levels of classifications of networks. Like, you know, the military, the Army doesn't just have, like, one network. They've got, like, a ring of networks that, as you go in or they become more classified and more classified. Well, inside the SCIF, everything is top secret or higher. And, you know, there are other classifications beyond top secret that I won't talk about. But, I'm in there, and, you know, and they've got Air Force, you know, guys in charge of, like, you know, the weather, senior weather officers that monitor the weather all over the world, making sure exercises, you know, and plane flight patterns are, you know, okay because of weather increments. And, like, there's guys who, you know, monitor the aerospace, the grid, you know, that monitor, like, actual live feed of, like, what airplanes are where, what jets are where, what exercises they're participating in. And when, you know, when the Cheney thing came out, you know, people were questioning that. Like, we were like, well, why would you do that? You know, because the military has certain procedures set in place for a reason. I mean, anybody who's ever done time in the military, everything is, like, by the books, by the numbers. I mean, if scenario A happens, you look up the little book
There's default A to Z.
Right, correct. And you follow the procedures. You know, something happens, this, you know, object A happens, you execute, you know, plan B, and these are the eight things you do. Well, you know, so that's prior to 9/11. So the morning before, we're involved in exercises, and one of them was support for Vigilant Guard, and the other one was for Bright Star, which I spoke about earlier for Egypt. We had.
And in your letter to the editor, you talk about in the days before drills of flying hijacked jets into the Pentagon,
correct,
into the White House, into the Sears Tower, and other targets, which is now declassified. It's come out in the news.
That is information I was not supposed to see. I was in the SCIF working on a PSYOPs commander's computer, and next to his PC was a document, top secret document, that was open. And, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, his neglect was my ally. So as I'm sitting there working on his computer, I'm waiting for some patches to download, and I look over and I'm reading this document, and it's the op order for the exercise that they're participating in, and it's top secret. I'm like, well, I didn't know this exercise was classified top secret. You know, that's ridiculous.
That makes no sense, because I've never heard of exercises that are large scale that are secret.
Exactly. We have to, keep it open. Yeah, we have to keep it public and open. Like, you don't want it public to the point where, you know, we can elicit problems, but you have to let certain people know that the military is running exercises, especially in high population areas. You know, that's just courtesy.
So you've seen a lot of other exercises, and very few were secret, much less top secret. Had you ever seen an exercise that was top secret?
No, never have before. You know, and that's not saying they don't exist. I've never seen one, and I've participated probably in, you know, more than 35 or 40 different exercises in my 8 years in the Army. And
okay,
you know, so I'm reading this document, and it's giving proposed situations for, you know, scenarios for this war game. And the scenarios include, like, you know, a plane hijacked. They were all, you know, most of them were hijacked planes. I saw there was the one, you know, like a car bomb, you know, trying to blow up something. But one of them was a hijacked airplane crash into a nuclear power plant in California.
That was in there, yeah.
Sears Tower, the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, obviously the White House, our building was one of the targets as well. And I guess, you know, because of the conflict of interest between Central Command and our area of operation in the Middle East, you know, that, you know, this is the command that heads up operations in the Middle East. If we take them out, then, you know, they'll be kind of lost for, you know, for at least a few months trying to figure out who's going to take over command of these people, you know. And so the day before, you know, they were ramping up. They were putting big, giant concrete pylons all around the building. They're putting machine guns up posts on the roof. I had friends, you know, before you could even get in the building, like, you had to verify your badge. Like, you know, we had military police, like, with dogs. Like,
by the way, Jeb Bush declared martial law for the first and only time in Florida 3 days before.
That's correct. 3 days before, yes. And that was, you know, after 9/11, I was stuck on the base for like 6 days. I couldn't even leave. Like, they just kept us there.
September 9th. That's Associated Press, boys and girls.
So,
planned to hit the White House and a bunch of other targets. Something went wrong. And if it would have gone off like they planned, by the time Bush left that school, he would have been total dictator. We would have had massive decapitation at Congress. Can you imagine the martial law we would have been under if it had hit the Capitol?
Well, you know, it would have been horrible, but, you know, I think that, you know, maybe that's where we'll have to go for people to actually, you know, rise up.
Well, we know what happened. The generals didn't follow orders and ordered two sidewinders into Flight 93, thank God.
That is correct.
Then they had to concoct the ridiculous story about let's roll.
Right, exactly. You know, and you know, during 9/11, you know, like, you know, we're in the bunker and we're watching the aerospace grid, and, you know, I can see the enemy blips, you know, that they're proposing. And the thing is that wherever you're doing exercises, you have to pipe that aerospace grid to the air traffic controllers of the airports, all the airports in that area, so they know there's a military exercise going on and there's proposed planes, like, you know, put on the grid just as, you know, fake bogus targets.
And okay, that's, and now in the tapes they keep saying, is this part of the exercise? I've never seen so much real world during an exercise. They didn't tell them that day, did they?
I don't think they did. And, you know, that was the whole thing is, you know, if you watch any of the video footage, you've got the air traffic control guys, is this real world or exercise? You know, because people don't know, and that was the whole point of this, is, and as I reflect back, I look, I'm like, well, that's genius. If you want to crash planes into a building, I mean, and you've got the aerospace grid at your, like, beckoning and, you know, call, then you put a bunch of blips on it, so nobody knows which one's real or which one's fake, except the key individuals who are supposed to know. And then, you know, nobody has any idea of, like, well, is that a fake plane that's flying over there? Because it's colored red, so a red plane, you know, equivalates a fake blip. So, I mean, all you have to do is have somebody in charge of those computer systems to put the blips on the screen, and then you can do whatever you want.
Now, let's get to Cheney. Let's get to Cheney, and there's a lot of other key areas we need to talk about here. But you're there in the bunker on 9/11. Describe what happens. You told me off air that everyone's wondering why the shoot down orders haven't been given. You heard key discussions. Give us that in detail.
Okay, so I didn't get to see the Tower 1 hit. Okay, as soon as, you know, I was in there talking, you know, with individuals. I was tired, you know, I've been there since 4 in the morning. I've been there talking to my, you know, Army Corps of Engineers buddy, I will not give his name. And, you know, we're chit-chatting, and then all of a sudden, you know, everybody starts hustling, bustling. Like, it looked like, you know, NASA when Apollo 13 is about to crash. You know, everybody's running around, and then, you know, they put up on the big screen CNN, you know, and here's, like, you know, this tower is about to fire, and we're like, what the heck's going on? And, you know, then, you know, we see the other plane come in and hit it, and then at that point, everybody's just standing up. And, you know, and we're just, like, watching, you know, we're same thing as everybody else. We're all shocked and awed. Like, you know, I can't believe this happened. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking in the back of my mind, I'm like, wow, that's funny, because we just had an exercise that, you know, proposed the same, you know, situation happening. You know, what are the odds? But I was more concerned about, wow, this is like a home front attack. Like, you know, wow, the people actually got the nerve up to do something to us, you know? Like, these guys are crazy. Like, they're going to get their butts kicked now, you know, because I had no idea at the time. And, you know, I'm standing there, and the Air Force had commanders in charge of, you know, in contact, direct contact with NORAD. And so we're, you know, the plane hit the, you know, or whatever hit the Pentagon. And then we're like wondering, like, well, what are they scrambling jets? You know, we're asking, like, there's, you know, 8 or 9 people, you know, and these are not just, this is not just, it was me and one of my soldiers. And then there's like lieutenant colonels and colonels. And they're asking, you know, this lieutenant colonel in charge of the Air Force, sec there, you know, why isn't NORAD scrambling jets? And he was like, well, we received an order to stand down. And that just perplexed everybody. Like, you know, they were totally...
Do you remember the name of that colonel over the Air Force Division in CENTCOM?
No, I do not. Do not remember his name.
We need to have you look at photos of those commanders. We need to find out who that is. He needs to be brought in under oath by a grand jury or by Congress. And we need to... We already know Cheney did it. We have Norman Panetta's testimony. We've got him 98%. We need that 2%. To have a total lock on these traitors. Stay there, sir. We're going to be back for just a 3-minute break. And I want to detail this more. I want to walk through this. Produces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like...
...to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning
ring. Well, I saw a lot of hand-wringing and people running around, scurrying, saying, is this real? Is this a hoax? And we know that they planned this info in the past in the 9/11 Truth Movement, but, it, you know, it's normally some type of ridiculous, you know, holograms hit the towers or something along those lines to try to discredit us. This doesn't fit the MO of disinfo. He wrote a letter to the editor. Months later, it got a lot of attention. People said, oh, he's not real. He's not in the military. We've confirmed he was in the military, and he sounds credible to me. We're here vetting it. We're here discussing it. It fits in with what we already know. So you're in CENTCOM, and everybody's running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And can you remember the specific designation of that full bird Air Force colonel and what area he was over at CENTCOM?
No, I can't. And I've tried to remember his name. I, you know, he was relatively, you know, in the SCIF by by himself, you know, in a back sect that, you know, basically had landline communications back and forth, communication-wise back and forth with NORAD.
And so there are hundreds of people in there? How many?
In the SCIF, yeah, there's probably 75 or 80 people in the SCIF easily, you know, possibly 100.
But clearly he was in command because they were going, he was in command of, I guess, the Air Force and NORAD interface because you saw colonels going to him.
Right, yeah. What he was is he was the information interface that they designated. So he was the NORAD representative for CENTCOM. I don't know. He had other titles. I mean, he had another job, I'm sure, too, but that was part of his duty, was to pass on information, you know, from NORAD and SPACECOM, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, that's where they went. They were like, what is going on? You know,
okay, but remember back, from memory, tell us exactly what you heard. I mean, were there two colonels in front of you, three? What were they saying? They were saying, you know, why aren't planes being scrambled? What did you hear?
Well, I asked, you know, first me and my lieutenant general friend, we kind of scurry over. Everybody's kind of, you know, he comes out of his office and he's standing there and, everybody knows what's supposed to happen when planes fly over no-fly zones or they come into our aerospace unauthorized. You scramble jets. I mean, I was a sergeant and I knew that. I mean, it was just, you know, it's the op order. I mean, that's just what they do. So, you know, these colonels, you know, these guys who have been to, you know, the Army War College and all this stuff, they know that's procedure. So, you know, they're questioning this other colonel, and I'm standing there, and he's like, well, you know, he's like, all I can confirm is that we've received a stand-down order. And he goes, well, no, I received a stand-down order. And that was all he said. And, you know, and then, of course, they ran off like hustle bustle, and, you know, I kind of was talking to my friend, you know, and then that's about that time is when, you know, the first tower started to come down, or the second tower, rather. You know, the one that was hit second came down first.
And we know there's anti-aircraft, Stinger missiles, and even more high-powered. They have the, what's the name of the mounted high-powered Gatling gun that's on ships?
Yeah, it's a minigun. It's anti-aircraft.
Is it Aegis?
Yeah, it is Aegis. That's correct.
Yeah, Aegis.
I
know there's Aegis. I know there was Aegis put in the mid-90s. After that guy flew the plane into the White House, that's Cessna. I know they put Aegis up all over D.C. I know Aegis was at the Pentagon. I've seen that in press reports. So they had Aegis, they had Stingers, they had a bunch of other anti-aircraft missiles all over D.C. I've been in D.C. and seen them on top of the White House back in the 80s walking around with missile launchers. I saw George Bush Sr. give a speech in 1988 in Dallas. My dad took me to it. It was at the fairgrounds, and they had Stinger missiles up on the roof. My dad said, look at those Stinger missiles. So we know there was a stand down. The aide is in there, and he's saying, does the order still stand to the vice president, you know, 50 miles, 30 miles, 20 miles, 10 miles? And he says, of course it still stands. We know he was in control. We know there was a stand down. We know they didn't use the missiles, much less the aircraft. And then stay there, sir. I want to keep you for two more segments. We'll let you go. I know you're at work. This is so important. I want to walk through anything else you saw, other important tidbits that you witnessed. Laro Jones Chavez, goes by LJ, is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. Be sure and check out InfoWars.com. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free
877-300.
Shot down any sergeant in the Army, his last assignment until 2002.
Water.com.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he has a lot of courage. LJ Chavez, Laro Jones Chavez is our guest. He was a sergeant in the Army. His last assignment until 2002 was at Central Command in Florida. He was inside the command bunker on the morning of 9/11. We have his DD Form 214 here in front of us, honorably discharged, and we are honored to have him on air with us. He just finished up getting into the generals and colonels scrabbling around, wondering why F-16s aren't up, why they haven't shot down any of the aircraft, wondering why a stand down is going on, and being told all we know is we've been ordered to stand down. This is what he witnessed. This all started when he got mad at a letter I guess posted by the paper itself about 9/11 truth in the Cincinnati Post. He wrote a letter. Months later, it got big on the web, and here he is doing his first radio interview with us. Other facets of this, other areas in your letter to the editor you get into, go through those for us, please, sir.
Okay. I know I talk a lot about, you know, I made friends with a lieutenant general who used to be the Army Corps of Engineers commander, and he used to teach the class from, you know, after speaking with him, he was like, you know, I used to give classes on controlled demolitions because when you go into hostile areas, it's the military uses, you know, demolitions to bring down bridges, to bring down buildings that are in the way of, you know, to make land, you know, airstrips for airplanes. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And, you know, we even do, like, civil engineering, like where we bring down buildings, you know, on the base to erect new buildings. So, you know, as the towers are falling, he's standing there, and he's telling me, Chavez, this isn't right. And I'm like, what are you talking about, sir? He's like, buildings don't fall like that. Because when they're struck by missiles or they're struck by, you know, gunfire or, you know, it's possible to, like, you know, blow off the top of a building.
Yeah, there have been battles in Vietnam and in Europe and all over where for days the thousands of heavy guns are just pounding, pounding 20-story buildings and they don't fall.
I've seen buildings overseas, like, not even big buildings, guys, like two stories, with holes as big as cars in them from, like, tank rounds and mortar rounds, and they're still there. And they're not even steel constructed. They're made out of, like, stucco. You know, and you know, the towers are falling, and I'm saying, what are you talking about, sir? He's like, well, this is a perfectly done controlled demolition.
So you're in CENTCOM. Can you tell us the name of this officer?
No, I will not call his name. I don't have permission from him, and, you know, I don't want to destroy his reputation, and he's still in the military.
Well, I mean, I had family friends on who's a structural degreed engineer who was in the World Financial Center less than 100 yards from Tower 1, South Tower, and, you know, he came on the air after the collapse that morning and said this was a beautiful controlled demolition.
Yeah, and when Building 7 came down, that's what he said. He goes, he was like, wow, that was beautiful. You know, and I'm like, I'm in horror. I'm like, this building's falling, and you're like saying this is something great. And I never really realized, you know, I guess the naivety of my mind at the time was, you know, so stuck to, you know, the same way that, you know, most soldiers are. They're, you know, we're there to do a job. We're there to perform a duty. We're there to defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And
but you're not saying he was involved. He was saying it was a beautiful demolition.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, he had no idea that, you know, anything was going on, but when he saw them fall, he was definitely...
Well, I've talked to people that work at big demolition companies, and of course they won't come on air, but they've said that 7 is a perfect job. I mean,
it is a perfect job.
When they plant bombs for months, it's hard to get them to fall into a pile as big as their original footprint.
Right. And my whole deal with this, Alex, is that, you know, you can't expect the American population, we're not idiots, like... You can't expect us to believe that you went into a building on fire and in a matter of hours, you know, pulled off the most perfectly executed controlled demolition probably in our civilization, you know, with a building on fire. I mean, that alone should make everybody go.
Then they try to spin it and say pull it means pull the firefighters, but it turns out they never fought fire in the building and didn't pull firefighters. But they can't have their cake and eat it too. Stay there, sir. Do you have time to do one final segment?
Absolutely.
Okay. Our guest, LJ, is with us. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Check it out.
WeCanTogether.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and rebroadcast from 9 to midnight. A growing number of brave AM and FM affiliates across the country pick up this show. We are so honored and thankful for them and their courage. It's really exciting that KLBJ, one of the most award-winning stations in the country, has picked up my Sunday show, and we're going to be expanding it to 3 hours, to 2 hours, and syndicating it through Genesis and a bunch of other MS Communications radio stations in some of the biggest cities in the country are going to be picking up the show. That shows that, you know, even a big establishment company like MS, they're obviously not Clear Channel or CBS West Winds, but still, it's pretty darn big. It's A-tier. All they own is marquee stations. picking up the show and wanting to syndicate it shows that they know this is legitimate, this is real, and we're going to take this country back, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to stop. We're going to break the left-right paradigm. We're going to defend the Republic. We're going to defeat the North American Union and the New World Order. We're going to do it with God's help. Later, I'm going to briefly tell you about something that happened. I've been watching Terror Storm. I put it out for free on Google Video. There was over 20 versions of it uploaded by others onto the web. And I was noticing that when it went over 200,000 and 150,000, depending on which version it was, you could sit there and see how people watched it. It was well over 2 million last week. And it was trending to be as big as Loose Change Online. Its growth rate was even quicker. Again, that is just so good for freedom. And then yesterday I got on the computer and went to the version that we uploaded that had gone above 60,000, the high-quality version. Unfortunately, all the low-quality ones were getting all the visitors. And I went to Google Video, and guess what? They had wiped it out. Terror Storm versions that had over 200,000 viewers, gone. Terror Storm versions that had over 100,000 visits, gone. Now the video is still there. Our ranking had been erased and wiped out. And why is that important? Because it took us out of the favorites and out of the top 100. We had finally gotten in to the top 100, into the favorites as well, in two different categories, which then it's exponential. No. They knocked us down, and they've already climbed to 60,000, 80,000, 100,000. 200,000. It's already climbed back up again. See, it reached exponential growth curve where we're getting millions of viewers of Terror Storm every few days, whereas it took a month and a half to get up to 2 million. Now they knock us out and it still gets up to 2 million in a couple days. See, we've already reached exponential, unless they totally take Terror Storm down completely. So everybody, just start uploading copies of Terror Storm. Just continue, lavish everything. They're not going to stop us. And I noticed that Loose Change, I've been watching them, and I get so excited as they climb the charts, but I noticed they didn't wipe them out. They didn't knock out their ratings. They didn't knock out their viewers. They didn't, no, they did it to Terror Storm, and we hope it's an accident, but Google keeps doing stuff like this, and I don't think it's an accident. Okay, I'm going to shut up. We've only got a few minutes left with our guest, and we're so honored to have him with us. Lauro Jones Chavez, or LJ, a sergeant working in CENTCOM, and I have his honorable discharge here in front of me. Sir, other facets, other key points that need to be made about what you saw that day in the bunker, and then recapping why you decided to go public.
Well, I think that I've pretty much given what I know, what I saw, the fact that regardless of what happened, we can go back and forth all day of what brought the towers down, what hit the Pentagon, the fact of the matter is that the government had prior knowledge. And that's what, really motivated me to, get out of the military, because, the government that is controlling, the military, and then you've got that, individual saying that the soldiers are nothing but pawns, and what makes me sick is that my brothers, my military brothers, are needlessly dying in a war it's a paradox. I mean, you can't have a war with no predefined, or certain enemy. It doesn't work that way. You've got to this is this little sect of people right over in this country, and that's a war. These rebels, like Somalia or something like that. But in a war on terror, then anybody who has any kind of bad thoughts towards the government, can be considered a terrorist. And now with the Patriot Act, they can come and get you and, black bag you like in V for Vendetta, and who knows what the possibilities are. But, my point is that no matter how horrible the truth is, no matter how horrible it is to look upon it, the people deserve to know the truth. And
absolutely. I want to go through a few quotes here from your letter to the editor. You say to the editor, quote, "I spent 8 months in combat watching my brothers die. That was in Afghanistan. I killed in the name of freedom, and to this day my brothers are still being killed for this illusionary war we call the War on Terror." Can you comment on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was deployed to Afghanistan for 8 months, about 2 weeks after 9/11 happened. I was there in support of United States SOCOM, which, if everybody's played the game SOCOM, they're actually a real entity that is located on MacDill Air Force Base, and I provided them with communications for the special op teams. We flew into Kabul Airport. We were actually under fire as we flew in. And, I thought I was going to, hunt bin Laden, and that was clearly not the objective of that war. And I still don't know what the objective is, you know, other than to, you know, subliminally condition
people. Can you say $400 billion in opium a year coming out of there?
Exactly. Or, you know, the pipeline. You know, a lot of people are like, what pipeline?
Unicole.
Like, I had to pull roving guards to make sure that nobody blew up that pipeline. That was where our, you know, our billions of dollars to the war went for, you know, people to pull patrols, you know. And then you've got, you know, soldiers over there that, you know, they're using live depleted uranium rounds in their tanks and all the mortars and all the, you know, howitzers. You know, and DU is just, it's horrible. I mean, you know, not only does it kill people, you know, and then that's fine, you know, but it's technically against the Geneva Convention because it provides like an after effect of, you know, it's a radioactive material, and you've got, you know, soldiers breathing this in the air.
What percentage of your, I mean, because as you said, you know, Tommy Franks, you know, all of these other generals, I mean, obviously you probably haven't talked to them about 9/11, but other people from privates up to generals that you've talked to about 9/11, the war on terror, what percentage know it's an inside job, or what percentage have you talked, you know, had a chance to bring it up to?
I haven't had an ability to bring up to too many people. I've got some reserve and guard friends that, you know, I'm pretty close to here, and they're skeptical, but, you know, the thing is that, you know, they're not told enough. You know, they're not given enough detail. They're given, like, you know, 2% of the 100% they need to know to do their job. You know, they're like, we don't need to be concerned about why we're shooting this round down the range. You just need to make sure that the round gets in the thing and it gets pulled when we say to pull it. So they don't really even know. I mean, they're just, you know, they're segregated out to do a job. And, you know, and it's just, it's not fair. You know, it's not fair for the, you know, these people. You know, and I see these support our troops signs, support our troops, all of our bumper stickers everywhere. If people want to support our troops, we'll bring them home so that they don't have to needlessly die in a war for money and oil. I mean, that's supporting the troops, not saying, you know, hey, good job for getting your legs blown off because, you know, you were over in Iraq trying to, you know, establish democracy in the name of America. And,
well, we had the unanimous National Intelligence Assessment out last week that the White House suppressed since April and tried to block its release. Unanimous 16 U.S. intelligence spy agencies saying clearly that Iraq has escalated the jihadist and has actually created a real terror threat for the first time that isn't really state-sponsored and manufactured. And that's what P2OG, that's what the Pentagon actually wanted all along. People say Bush is screwing up. He's not screwing up. The stated plan was to break Iraq in three pieces and stimulate military responses as a pretext to widen the war.
Absolutely. And, you know, they should be angry. Those people in Lebanon and Iraq and Iran, they should be mad at us because, you know, we're not represented. Our, you know, the people of America aren't represented the correct way. I mean, our government gives us the image of, like, you know, we're this, like, you know, like, homopathic people that, you know, want to come over and take over your society and, you know, make you, you know, a democracy. And that's clearly just
no, they come in and they put in Perez Musharraf there in Pakistan, a brutal dictator. I mean, they put dictators in everywhere and fund them and control them. Well, in closing, you said to the paper, the Cincinnati Post, you said, we all knew then, we all realized that this was not some group of unorganized cave dwellers from Afghanistan orchestrating a perfect hit on American soil. It was impossible. And I guess there you were speaking of Building 7. And as you said, you were standing there with an officer as Building 7 fell, and he said it was a beautiful controlled demolition. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, you know, and I spoke about that earlier. Yeah, you know, my lieutenant general friend was, you know, demolitions. He taught, you know, controlled demolitions for, you know, Army Corps of Engineers to bring down bridges and stuff. And, you know, he knew at the moment. And, you know, I think we all knew. We just refuse to believe, and that's what took me so long to talk about this, is because I, you know, I thought I was the only one individual that knew something I wasn't supposed to know, and I had no idea. And so I met my friends, you know, that I work with, and the friends in the community that are like, you know, showed me this entire movement of people who are like challenging, you know, the decision, you know, of how 9/11 happened, and the official story is nothing more than a big lie. And I, until then, I realized that, you know, maybe I need to say something. Maybe now is the time for me to say something, because before, I think it would have been passed.
So basically, you know, our research about NORAD standing down, Cheney being in control, that meshed with what you witnessed as an eyewitness inside the secret command bunker of Central Command there in Miami on 9/11.
In Tampa, yes, absolutely.
Tampa, excuse me.
No problem. But, you know, I think that everybody needs to know the truth. And, you know, we're a bunch of, you know, we're a great American, we're a great society. I think we have the potential to be very wonderful and very ethical, but, you know, we have to grow beyond this point here, and we've got to get the people who are, you know, the bad guys, you know, out of leadership positions to where we can put people who are good, ethical people in positions of power where we can grow a society as ethically as we need to be. You know, if we want to help Iran, we shouldn't go try to blow them up. We should send 30 scientists over to help them establish a nuclear power plant to provide power to their people, you know, and not try to hinder them from becoming a world power. You know?
Yeah, why doesn't Iran want to attack Germany or Russia or China or Japan or South Africa or Venezuela?
Those countries are all friends, you know, and you want the American public to believe that that Osama bin Laden came over here and blew up, you know, orchestrated this whole great attack against the most powerful nation in the world, and then, you know, Osama didn't take our rights away with the Patriot Act. You know, Osama didn't bring down Building 7. You know,
Osama couldn't order NORAD to stand down. Osama couldn't warn public officials not to fly out of the White House. Osama couldn't have the 44,000, 18,000 British troops already massed north of Afghanistan with three carriers waiting with the launch orders on his desk 2 days before. Osama couldn't declare martial law in Florida. Sir, I commend you for joining us. I want to talk to you again later this week when you have more time. LJ,
sure.
God bless you. And I'm going to call you tonight at home. I want to talk to you some more, okay?
Sure. Thank you, Alex. Pleasure.
God bless you for your courage, sir. Will, your story really looks credible to me. We'll continue to check it out. We'll be right back with our next guest.